with Naj, man. I hope y'all are all having a great week. It is hump day. It is midweek, man. Been very, very busy with work. But, man, I wanted to do an episode for y'all. I want to shout out, obviously, my subscribers, man. I'm going to share where I'm at far as subscriber-wise. Y'all are awesome, man. It's hard to believe where I'm at right now. So I'm going to keep grinding, man. I think I'm going to do these every week going forward, you know. And y'all comment. I'm going to do posts, whatever kind of content, man, y'all want to see me discuss. Y'all let me know. Today we got obviously gonna be getting into first and foremost, we're getting into NBA. We gotta talk about the season. We gotta talk about, you know, which teams I'm taking far as going forward, which teams I think make a noise, some of the biggest storylines in the NBA, you know, major, you know, happenings, firings, hirings, and things like that. Which team can make some noise. And then after that, we'll get into some Premier League major news as far as that. And also we'll get into some UEFA, some UCL action. That was major key as well. Some games that happened today, some games yesterday. I correctly predicted actually a game happening. I'm gonna reveal that in a little bit. But yeah, man, it's a lot to talk about. But man, let's first go ahead. I'm gonna share my screen, show y'all my YouTube. I just want to give y'all a shout out, man. I really, really appreciate it. This is like just, man, super awesome to see. I mean, you know, y'all are great, man. Honestly, this is motivation to keep going. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, man, but I'm at 83 followers now. You know, it was a journey. It was something I had to really put some time and effort into. Obviously, step by step process. But yeah, man, I think, you know, just a couple of months ago, I was at maybe like 30 or 40 followers. So to be at 83 is incredible. Y'all got this video right here going crazy. This is what I talked about, the Atlanta Hawks. That's at 307 views from yesterday. So I mean, that's just awesome. Awesome, man. Some of my other videos have, you know, went crazy. Just to show y'all real quick, this one did pretty good, but it was another one I wanted to show y'all that it had like two. This one right here, like this one went crazy. This was over a month ago, 2.8 views. I mean, that's just incredible, man. So I want to give my fans a shout out, all my subscribers for tuning in, and obviously helping me. And you know, just helping me grow my channel, man. It's obviously, you know, very important to me. But let's keep it going, man. We got a lot to talk about today, man. Let's go ahead and get into it. So we'll start soccer and then obviously go NBA. So first and foremost, man, let's talk about obviously the UCL that happened. I actually predicted it. I did a TikTok video. If you guys not subscribed to my TikTok, definitely tune into that. Pretty soon here, I'm gonna have a QR code that I've already created for TikTok. That I can put on here and y'all can scan it and go follow me as well. Do a lot of my content on there. But yeah, I did a video with Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Liverpool's a team that's really reeling right now. Honestly, that was an ugly loss for them. Right now, I think they sit number nine in the Premier League standings, but they're just a team that's, you know, not as it was, not as fierce, not as crisp as last year when they were contending for a Premier League title. They ended up losing to Man City, but still, they were up there contending and competing all year. And they played the same team, Real Madrid, for the final in the UCL last year. But just not the same team. And I kind of sensed that and knew that when they got when Sadio Mane ended up leaving. I was like, I don't think they're going to be the same attacking wise, and they haven't been the same. Obviously, Mo Salah is an incredible player. You know, he puts pressures on the defense, he creates chances for other players. He's just a player you got to account for. And I knew like he was going to have a big game, and he did score, but just their backline defense. And, you know, Virgil van Dijk's been getting a lot of criticism this season, and they're kind of, you know, backline of defense. Their center backs hasn't been playing well this season. I mean, they were up 2-0. Normally, when you're up 2-0 in a big game like that, you know, against an opponent, usually you're going to win that game. But they ended up faltering. Real Madrid scored five goals unanswered. You know, they had essentially no answer for them. You know, I thought that was incredible. So yeah, man, I actually correctly predicted it, and I'm about to share the video with you guys. I knew Vinicius Jr. would have a brace. I predicted it, came through to fruition. I didn't know about Karim Benzema because I know he's coming back from injury. I didn't know how healthy he was going to be, so I didn't really predict the goal amount for him. But for them to score five goals against their defense, and what's crazy is they had the same amount of shots and the same amount of pretty much shots on target. So Liverpool had nine shots. I think it was five on target. I think Real Madrid had nine shots, six on target. But just the second half of the game, they really, if you look at it, they really controlled the first probably good quarter of the game, Liverpool did. And then from there, you know, it was no, it was just, you know, like as they said, calma, calma. And, you know, they never faltered, they never wavered, and they kept going and kept going. And then eventually, man, it was just a goal scoring show. and Real Madrid. I mean, that's big. See, it's not as big as before because you have the away goal rule. But now, I mean, to go and do that on the road in Anfield, not in the Bernabeu, in your home field, they're going to go up three. They're going to go back to their home stadium on the second leg, up three goals. That's incredible. I mean, that's not where you want to be if you're a Liverpool fan. It's not where you want to be if you're a Liverpool manager or a player. So it's going to be tough, man. You got to make just three goals to the top of the game. I don't really see that happening in Real Madrid. I think it's going to be tough. I think they've pretty much stamped their ticket into the round of eight. I think it's going to be tough for them to come back. But let's roll a clip in the video of me correctly predicting and obviously talking about Vinicius Jr. in my previous video earlier. So let's roll that real quick.
UCL round of 16, Liverpool, Real Madrid. These two teams played last year in the final. Real Madrid won 1-0. I think this is going to be a great game. This is a road game actually for Real Madrid. It's going to be in Anfield. Look for Mohamed Salah to have a big game. My eyes are going to be on him, see what he does in this one. I believe Karim Benzema is going to return in this game, but I think for Real Madrid to win, I think it's going to have to be Vinicius Jr., who's played great in 34 competitive appearances. Just at the age of 22, he has 24 goals. Expect for him to have a good one. I expect a brace from him in this game. I think it's going to be close, tight-knit. I got Real Madrid with the victory 2-1. Look for the defense for Real Madrid. They've won, I think, four straight. And actually, Liverpool's gotten it together. They've won consecutive games in a row. But right now, they're eighth currently in Premier League. But I think it's going to be a great game between both of these teams that has rich history. They've lost the last six up meetings, I believe, Liverpool has. And it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be a tough game. Close. I got Real Madrid. Va ganar. What's going on, y'all, man? It's UCL.
So that's the video, y'all. Obviously, I did it, prior to the game. It was around about 10 o'clock Eastern AM, right before the game. I just had a feeling Real Madrid was going to go in there and win. I just thought, they're playing some of the better football. Obviously, right now they're trailing majorly to Barca in the La Liga standings, but I thought they've been playing some good football recently. They've been winning some games, they just had the momentum going. I think they were on a 4-game win streak coming into that game, so I just kind of figured, with how good they've been playing and getting kind of Karim Benzema back, and I know like Vinicius Jr. has been on his A game. He's been performing great, 22 goals and 34 appearances. He's something different, man. He's really special, and he's going to be one of those forces to be reckoned with for years to come, as long as he wants to be at Real Madrid. So that's what I got as far as on that, man. We're going to talk about some of the games today. We're going to actually start with let's start with Man City, 1-1 game. I mean, if you guys didn't see the play, I don't know how that was not called. That's kind of it's kind of beyond me. I don't know why. It was not called the handball. I would show the clip, but you get copyrighted and things like that. But basically, had it, hand clearly touches it. I don't know, why it was not reviewed. I mean, it's clear as day, hand touches the ball. He's almost acting as a goalkeeper in that situation, which is something you cannot do. But just very tough. So that's what gave them the goal. It should have been a penalty, obviously, but that ended up giving them the goal. So that made it really, really tough. But the standout was in the game, obviously, as you look at the shots, you look at the shots on target. The big standout is, obviously, you got the front three. So you got Mahrez, you got Grealish, and you got Haaland. But what's really tough for Man City is it seemed like it's almost embedded in their kind of routine, right? Which Pep Guardiola is obviously a phenomenal manager, but they don't like to go lob it over top. They don't like to, get it in position and take risk with one of the best. I mean, if you think about it, he's one of the best strikers in the game. And that's Haaland. They haven't been doing that lately. Haven't been getting him involved. He barely, really touched the ball like that. And you gotta feed your best players. And I know obviously there's a strategy. There's a formula in place that's really helped them be successful the last couple of years, them winning Premier League titles, them contending for UEFA titles and things like that. But same time, you got to play your best players, man. And you got to get it to your best players. It doesn't seem like, far too often he's kind of ignored in a sense. So they haven't been as crisp as they usually are too, if you think about it. Obviously they're right there. They beat Arsenal recently, in order to kind of be at the top of the Premier League standings, but they want to really win a UEFA trophy, UCL Champions League trophy. They're gonna have to perform better. They didn't perform well today, I thought they didn't put enough pressure on the ball offensively to kind of, make them comfortable. Obviously, they dominated possession, 62% to 38%. They dominated that. But when you have the dominant possession like that, you got to also put pressure on the defense, make them feel uncomfortable, take your chances and risk it when it's there. So I'm not saying they don't do that. I just don't think they involve their best player enough. And it's kind of crazy. You look at Man City, players that were in the fold in the midst last year of the really great run are not really playing right now. Phil Foden, wasn't in form. Essentially they didn't play him. He didn't use Pep Guardiola didn't use any subs in this game, which is kind of, head scratching a little bit. Just to kind of mix it up and, change some things around. That was big. Kevin De Bruyne has not been in form. He was a key cog starter last year. He's right now, trying to just find playing minutes. I think Foden's one of the best young players in the game. Excuse me, as well. So, I mean, if you keep up with that, he's probably going to start getting dissatisfied. You see the frustration with Erling Haaland right now. So, I mean, it's tough. They're right now a team that's, I won't say in flux, but they got a lot going on. I mean, obviously got the financial thing that they've been, accused of, by Premier League. They got some frustration and rumblings with players. I don't think they're playing their best players in some situation scenarios. They're not involving their star players. So they got a lot going on and they got to fix, Man City. But it is 1-1. They will be able to have a chance for the second leg, but you give RB Leipzig some, momentum and feeling like they kind of got you. And if they run, come out with that performance kind of again, in the next match, with the second leg, I don't foresee them winning. I think that's going to be very tough to do. So we'll see if they can switch it around and change it up. But that's going to be key, I think, going forward. And then the last one I wanted to talk about is obviously it's going to be Inter and Porto. Inter won that game. Lukaku came off, who, as you guys all know, plays for Chelsea, but he's on a loan to Inter. He came in and scored, I think, on the 86th minute. But he gets a lot of things, for not being as fit as he should be. I think even the manager said he's at 103 kilograms, which is, pretty big. But we'll see if he stays at Inter Milan. I think that'll be really the interesting kind of question there. But, both of these teams, probably middle of the pack teams. I doubt you've seen any major upset with either one. The game, it was okay. It wasn't nothing to really write home about. He came in and really helped lift Inter. So we'll see if he stays there, obviously full time. But good win for them in the first leg. They're gonna play again in the second leg. I think that'll be really intriguing. If we look really quick, guys, at kind of like the stat line, let's see, let's talk about it. I think that was Man City. Let's see. All right, yeah. So if we look, 18 shots, only 4 on target for Inter in this game, 10 shots for Porto, only 4 on target. Again, 60% possession, but I think it's the same thing. They weren't putting enough, to me, pressure on the ball. It seemed like they weren't attacking as good as they did. I mean, it was a great sub. I thought Darren, bringing in obviously Lukaku and, allowing him to, basically, take over the game and score the goal. But at the same time, this is a tough sledding game for them. We'll see how the second leg looks if Porto can make some noise. I think that'll be interesting to see. But that's my thoughts on the UCL and everything like that. And far as the teams that play, again, one of the best soccer tournaments, I think, in the world. Some of the best European teams on the planet that plays in this. It's always very exciting and very fun, when UCL goes on. So that's my thoughts and everything and what I think. Keep it rolling, man. In the second segment of my live stream and show, we're going to go ahead and talk about NBA. Let's go ahead and talk about some NBA. Major happenings. I got some major topics for y'all. We got standings. You guys, games kick off tomorrow night. And then we're just gonna take a look at the standings, and I got some storylines I wanna talk about. Let's start with the West first and foremost. Let's start with the West. We'll start West. All right, so. So you guys see me a little bit better. But yeah, let's look. So you got the Celtics, they're the one seed right now, followed by the Bucks, the Sixers, the Cavaliers, the Nets, the Knicks, the Heat, the Hawks. So I think it's interesting. I actually did a video on the Hawks. They fired their head coach, Nate McMillan. They hired an interim coach. It'd be interesting to see if he can have some success with the team. Can they make a kind of a late playoff push to kind of get in there? They are a couple games behind, 6 games behind the Nets. 3 games behind the Knicks and the Heat. Interesting to see, where they're able to take the team. But to me, I think it's only really 2, maybe 3 true contenders in the East. The first two, obviously off the bat, Celtics and Bucks. When healthy, those two teams are basically identical records. They got stars on both of the teams, superstars. They got stars. I think that's going to be an intriguing matchup. I hope they play for like the Eastern Conference Finals to see who gets to go to the finals. Because last year these teams played, but Chris Middleton wasn't healthy, so it was just Giannis and Drew. It was kind of tough. Celtics were 0-1, and they are again on this year. I think Jason Tatum's an MVP candidate. I'll put him top three right now. I think he's playing some phenomenal basketball. He's averaging 30 points a game. He's been able to facilitate really good. He's an unselfish player. He gets, hot in these different zones. So I think Celtics are obviously going to be a team to be reckoned with. I think the Bucks do have a chance. I mean, they have some really good defensive players. Like, that's kind of slept on. They were able to get Jay Crowder. That's another defensive wing that makes it tough for you. You add that with Giannis Antetokounmpo, two-time defensive player of the year, along with Jrue Holiday, who's won all NBA defensive team. I mean, that's going to be a really good series. Now, when I say those two, so disrespect to the Sixers, but, and I know Harden's role is different now. It definitely is. But when I say that, I just need to see him perform when it matters most, right? I've kind of yet to see that. I've seen Curry do it when he's gotten flack and said he doesn't come through when he's teaming the most. He basically eliminated all that doubt last year about winning the finals, having some help, but not having the usual help he's accustomed to. He really carried that team for most of that series. I've yet to see Harden do it. I don't need Harden to go off for 25, 30, 35, 40. I don't need that. I just need him to be a key cog in their success. I need him to be a key piece in that success. When Embiid is out of the game and you need to carry the scoring load, scoring stretches, keep your team afloat, I need to see him do that. That's what I mean when I say I need Harden to step up in big moments, because you're going to need that. Like, you're going to need your players going to have to get rest. You're going to have to be able to take over at different points in the game. And we have not seen that from him in the playoffs. We've seen the regular season. He's been phenomenal. But we need to see that in the key moments and him to take over. Whether, it doesn't have to be a three. Like, that's why I always think that's important. Obviously, threes are inflated now with analytics, and that's the most important part of the game or whatever. But, excuse me, at the same time, it's really important, to be able to find your go-to move, your go-to shot, whether it's a step back or whether it's getting to the paint, hitting a floater, hitting a mid-range, getting to the corner, whatever that is, when you need to get something going and you need to, get your team going and score buckets and things like that, you got to be able to go do that. So I think that's going to be crucial. Let's see if Harden does it. That's why I have those two kind of favored. And then I will put, the Bucks, I mean, sorry, the Sixers is three. Cavs are a young team. They got some good core players. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley. They got some good players. I just need to see them do it in the playoffs. Like, last year, they were really good. There was a high four seed. They ended up trickling down all the way, I think, to 7 or 8 seed, and then they played in the play-in against the Hawks. The Hawks eliminated them. So I just need to see what they can do far as in the playoffs. I can't really trust yet. I do like Donovan Mitchell, but I can't say they're going to make a whole bunch of noise knowing who's at the top of the Eastern Conference. So that's my thoughts on that. Teams to watch out for, like I said, Celtics, Bucks. Can the Sixers make some noise? Can they upset one of those two teams at the top in the second round in the semifinals? That's going to be something to watch for. Now, let's move to the Western Conference. This is going to be fun. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I think this is going to be super fun. It's so many teams that you're going to have that you have to look out for. I know, Morant, didn't go back on his words saying he's fine in the West. I just don't think so. No disrespect to him. He's a great player. I got him as probably top two point guard in the game right now. But it's just too, it's going to be too loaded. You got the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, who looked like he could be a three-time MVP. And it's like you can't even take it away from them this year, because other years you say, oh, well, they're a 3 seed, they're a 7 seed, they're a 6 seed, they're the number 1 seed this year. So it's gonna be hard for you to take that away from him. And they got some great pieces. They got, Jamal Murray, they got Aaron Gordon. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they're gonna look come playoffs. They haven't been able to get to the mountaintop yet. I don't think they've even played in this era in the conference finals yet. So that's gonna be interesting to see how does that all kind of come together. Will they be able to make some noise this year in the West, right? You got Grizzlies, obviously nothing to sneeze about. You got Steven Adams when healthy, Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, Desmond Bane. That's a pretty good core four you got right there. So they are another team you can't sneeze at, right? It's gonna be tough. 3 seed, you got Kings. The Kings, this is the first time there. I like De'Aaron Fox. I like Kevin Herter. I like Domantas Sabonis. But again, it's like almost that other situation. I need to see them perform and do it. It reminds me of the Cavs, right? Great, young, ascending team, finally winning games, finally winning games. Great core, good bench, Kevin Huerter and those boys, but can they actually win a series? They haven't been able to make the playoffs, I think, in almost 1 to 2 decades. So can they actually, make some noise? I think it's going to be intriguing to see. So I can't really say yet with the Kings. I got to see them perform in the playoffs. Look, see how they look round one. Then I can make that kind of that statement. Now you got Clippers. I think when healthy, they're going to have Russell Westbrook now, which I reacted on the video to. How will he fit into their team? That's going to be interesting. Now, obviously, they got rid of some of their shooters. They didn't like the way John Wall fit. He's gone now. He's a free agent. Yeah, they traded Luke Kennard. They traded Reggie Jackson. They don't have Reggie Jackson anymore. So they got rid of some of their core kind of bench players, but they still have Norman Powell. Russell Westbrook, it's been said that he's going to start. So how is that going to look? I think that's going to be one of the key interesting things, man. How is he going to fit with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard? How much is Kawhi Leonard going to play? We know he's usually load managed. So we'll see. I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at. That's going to be another tough out, I think. The Suns getting KD, that was a major trade. Got another 3 years under his contract, and it makes it easier for Chris Paul because all Chris Paul has to do is facilitate, be the point guard that he is, get them involved. I mean, Devin Booker and KD, excuse me, that's nothing to play with. And they were able to keep DeAndre Ayton. That's going to be a lethal combination. But again, when you're playing team sports, it takes time for that to kind of come together. Like, you got to build cohesion, chemistry, know each other's tendencies, know what each other likes to do, communication. All that stuff is going to matter. So obviously, Suns are going to be right up there at the high of the list. But how quickly can that all come together? Will it be this year or will it be next year when they have another year, full training camp, mini camps, all that under their belt? It'll be interesting to see how much noise they can make, what kind of a team that's been put together. Then you got the Mavericks. That's going to be another one. Defensively, they're giving up a little bit much, but Kyrie, you get an unstoppable scoring force. He probably has one of the best handles ever to play the game. And he has elite finishing ability, probably one of the top tier elite finishers ever as well. But how would that look defensively? Doncic is good. He can get his own shot. He can facilitate. He gets guys open shots. And that's going to be the thing with this team. A lot of the shooters that they're going to have, the Reggie Bullocks of the world, the Tim Hardaways of the world, it's probably going to be nice for them because they're going to get a lot of open shots because people are going to overhelp on Kyrie and Luka Doncic, which makes it tough for them. And then when Doncic goes out of the game, they got a lethal scorer who can get his own bucket and involve others. So that's going to be tough. But defensively, that's where I kind of make my hay. I can't really say this is a team that's going to contend. In my opinion, I just think, I think defensively it's going to be problems. They lost their best defender who they traded, Dorian Finney-Smith, I believe to the Nets. I don't, for me personally, I just don't see it, defensively. Offensively, they're going to be fine. Defensively, I don't see it. Pelicans, team, but it's going to hinge on the health of Zion Williamson. He's hurt again, hamstring injury. Will he be able to come back? Will he be able to make some noise? That's going to all be interesting to see, man. I mean, I'm telling you, he's been hurt, the past couple of seasons. Can he finally, be able to play in big games? They got good core pieces, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram. Herbert Jones is a good defensive piece, Valanciunas, but can he actually be healthy? That's what it's going to hinge on with the Pelicans. If he is, hey, they could do a first round upset. I wouldn't be surprised. Then you obviously got Timberwolves, young team, don't have D'Lo anymore. It's going to hinge on obviously Anthony Edwards, Cat, Rudy Gobert, but they've been struggling. They're barely 500 team. Warriors injury late in all season. James Wiseman didn't work out how they wanted to. He's on the Pistons now. They don't look like the same team. You have to give them credit where credit is due because they're the defending world champions. They got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond, but how much longer can that core continue to contend for titles will be interesting. They do have a bunch of experience, so they got that in their favor. To get in, it'll be tough. I mean, you got one of the best shooters ever, and got a top five shooter ever in Klay Thompson. But can they actually make some noise? That's gonna be tough. I can't really say. Then you got the Thunder, I believe, who is the 10 seed. You got the Jazz, and you got the Blazers, and you got the Lakers. So I just want to mention the Lakers really quick. In my opinion, the team did look good. I will say that the team looked good, but what it's going to be for the Lakers is they're going to have to. I just need to see more games. Like AD already came out today and said, this is must win. LeBron's already every game's a must win. LeBron's already said this is the most important 23 games in his career in the regular season. So they've all put the emphasis on how important these games are. What I will say is they look a lot better defensively than they did before. I think having those wing players, having the Vanderbilt starting, the Malik Beasleys, that made them a better team. Is it a contending team? I can't say that. Can they potentially get in the playoffs and maybe make a little bit of noise? I can see that. But the thing is going to be is, like I said, I can't get torn into one game, right? As the Pelicans without Zion Williamson. I have to see them, do it against other upper echelon elite teams in the NBA. So, they're going to have, I think, only four teams in the remaining of the schedule they're going to play in the East. And I think 15 to 16 games are going to be against teams in the West. So they're going to have equal opportunity. They got a lot of tiebreakers that are against their side. So they're going to have to figure that part out. But they can get some key wins and move up in the West and things like that. So they control their own destiny, but they're going to have to win pretty much 70, 75% of their games to contend. So the same thing with the Lakers. And I said about obviously the Pelicans, it hinges on the health of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis needs to be the best player on the team. It does not need to be LeBron. It needs to be Anthony Davis. LeBron is 38 years old. It's only so much he's going to be able to give you, right? What I do like is they have another playmaker and guy that can slash and obviously shoot the ball really good in D'Angelo Russell, get others involved. And then you got two really good shooters in Vanderbilt and Beasley. And then now you have more of kind of a bench. You got the Austin Reaves coming in. You got the Mo Bambas coming in, contending and contesting shots. You still got Austin Reaves in there who can give you some quality minutes, right? So I think all that'll matter, in the end. You got a Troy Brown who can shoot some threes, but I think having those five as your starters, LeBron, AD, D'Lo, Malik Beasley, and then Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt can go guard the best wing player, Not necessarily saying he's going to stop him, but he's going to make the shots difficult, right? And then you continue, you rebound, you'll be good to go. So we'll see. I'm not going to put the Lakers and say they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to go that far. I have to see more first. The first game was promising, but we've seen promising before from Lakers and not come out to fruition. So can they carry it all the way, into a run potentially and make the postseason? Now, if they make the postseason, then we'll have another discussion. But I can't really say that just yet. I got to see more first. So that's my thoughts on the NBA. That's my thoughts on the teams. And the teams are looking out for. Now, two more questions before I wrap for the live stream for today. Can Phoenix finally win their first championship? It's crazy to think all that time they had Shaquille O'Neal, Steve Nash, Amar'e Stoudemire, Charles Barkley, abundance of talent, never won a title. Never won a title. This is probably their best chance to do it, and they have superior talent. They got a rim protector in DeAndre Ayton. They got somebody that can rebound in DeAndre Ayton. He can shoot. You got KD, one of the best scorers ever. D Book, young superstar, different breed. Point God and Chris Paul, So they have everything they need. The bench, it'll be interesting to see, what players can step up. Because obviously when you trade players away, you lose some of your depth in your bench, right? So don't got Mikal Bridges anymore, even though he started. They're not gonna have Cam Johnson, anymore. They don't have Jay Crowder anymore. So who on that bench is gonna be a step up for them and take quality minutes and take the pressure off the starters, because you still need that in the postseason. No matter how good your starters are, they need their rest too. It's something to think about. So I think that'll be interesting. I will say this about them having a chance. This is their best chance to win a championship. Will they do it? We will see. But this is their best shot. This is the best, I think, accumulation of talent this team has ever had. Even to me, y'all may call me crazy in franchise history. I just think it is. Will it come through? We'll find out. But I think, like I said, I think the West is going to be really, really entertaining. And really a great kind of conference to watch out for in the playoffs. I can't wait. I'm super excited for that. And the last topic to conclude the stream, y'all. We got Lonzo Ball. He's shut down for the rest of the season. Doctor said his injury is unique, something they've never seen before. So my thing with that is, I won't say it's a career ending, but you have to start thinking like, he's had a plethora of injuries, since he's kind of came into the league, And he's gotten traded. He's been on different teams, But I don't know. I mean, he's gotten better as a shooter. He's a really great defender. But this is the second season he's missed. He didn't play at all really last season. He doesn't play this season. So, you can make the argument, it's his career in jeopardy. I mean, something to think about. Can he stay healthy? Like, I think next year it's going to be interesting to see if he can get going. But obviously he says still some pain and discomfort in his knee when he works out, when he tries to get back on the court. I've seen a couple of videos of him. He doesn't look normal. The knee still looks like he's not running as fast as he could. Look like it's holding him back. So we'll see if he's able to obviously get back on the court. But I think that injury is really concerning for his career and what he wants to do. And it could be one of those things where, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it, but it can be one of those things where, you know, potential didn't match. Well, talent didn't match the potential. Because Lonzo Ball coming out of UCA was a stud. I mean, shoot the three ball, great facilitator, good teammates involved. We went number two overall. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't just happen to everybody, you know? So, you know, we'll see, man. Obviously, wishing him the best, hoping for the best for him. But 2 seasons he's missed with that knee injury, you know, it could be tough. But we'll see if he can get back in and, you know, and play. Obviously, the Bulls need him. Interesting to see what direction that franchise wants to go into. They lost some of the best players. Remember, at one point, they had Lauri Markkanen. He's all the way on Utah now. He was an all-star this season. You know, they don't have the same players they used to. They did sign Patrick Beverley to a contract, but we obviously know he'll be a role player for the team. They got DeMar DeRozan, but the team is not as deep as it once was. Nikola Vucevic. So, you know, we'll see how it pans out. You know, obviously, again, wishing him the best, but definitely very, very tough. So that's all I got for you guys today. Again, another busy night for me. I got more work to do after this, but I just wanted to come talk to y'all, my live stream, to my fans. I want to say I appreciate y'all. 83 subscribers is, man, it's just hard to believe. That's where I'm at right now. I'm gonna keep going, creating posts for y'all. Y'all make sure y'all, you know, like up the video, like, comment, subscribe. Just tell me, man, some content y'all want to see, man. I'm doing content every week going forward. So, you know, that's NBA. I cover practically everything. I do NBA, I do NFL, I do soccer. I do everything. So y'all let me know whatever content y'all want to see, videos on this. I'm gonna try to do more like reaction videos as far as just breaking news from different sports leagues, like, you know, NBA, like I did the obviously Atlanta Hawks firing coach Nate McMillan. I'm gonna do more videos as far as, you know, just MLS, watching that league. I'm gonna be doing more videos with MLB, just kind of covering everything. I do high school videos too. Obviously, you know, I work for a high school company that, you know, puts games on TV and things like that. So I'll be doing videos pretty entertaining to that too. But whatever content y'all want to see, my fans, my subscribers, again, thanks again. Y'all comment below some more content y'all want to see. And if y'all like my live streams, y'all want me to be back every single week. So appreciate y'all tuning in, man. I will see y'all soon. Make sure you subscribe to my Twitch at Najee Woke. Also subscribe to my TikTok. Follow me on TikTok, Najee Woke, Twitter, Najee Woke, and obviously YouTube, Sports Talk Naj. And before I go, actually, guys, I'm gonna share this with you guys. I do have a website that I have created. It's a very good website, I think. I just, you know, put all my content on there. As you guys can see, you know, this is me. Obviously, you know, I've done some sports reporter stuff. This is at a high school game. You know, this is me as obviously I was doing the main story. Just, you know, Nate McMillan getting dismissed and fired. I do blogs and things like that that I write up. Hold on. What happened? Yeah, so see, like I said, I discussed everything. Like, there was the Super Copa, the España. You know, I did Cedric Josh should be top five pick, Travis Hunter, college news. You know, I do all that, y'all. And then this is my podcast, obviously. You know, who people I interview coaches all the time, bringing them on the show and things like that. This is all my YouTube content that you're seeing now, you know, on there. And obviously, I've done major events. This is the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. I did this with obviously Champ Bailey, who's a Hall of Famer in himself. So that is my website. I hope you guys liked it. Definitely go subscribe to the website. That's all being linked in the description below. But man, hope you guys have a phenomenal week. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you guys soon. And wishing everybody blessings and well wishes, man. See y'all and see y'all very, very soon.